We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
It's up.
Hello again, friends, and welcome inside, at least for me, not for Judd Udemark, the Ole Miss slugging third baseman infielder, do everything. Ole Miss baseball player. I'm in the Riverland Roofing Studios, a little house up top. Riverland Roofing for all your roofing needs. 662-644-4297. Visit them online at riverlandroofing.com. Few, if any, are doing more for Ole Miss in the NIL name, image, and likeness space than Riverland Roofing. Rebels supporting Rebels. Support them, our friends at Riverland Roofing. This is a Judd U edition of Talk of Champions. That man right there, as I said, Judd Udemark. Ole Miss baseball deep into official practices. How you doing, man? How you feeling?
Man, we're doing good. You know, we're living. I can't complain. Life's going well.
Tell me about practices so far, man. I mean, the season's almost here now. That's what's crazy. When you and I started talking in November, it still felt a long ways away. And now 2 weeks out, how have practices been?
Yeah, you know, that's the beauty about having that winter break and then coming back in the spring is you have a quick turnaround. And you don't have much time. You know, that's why you take advantage of the fall and all the practices and the inter squads and the lifts and all that, just so that you can become prepared for whenever the spring rolls around. And that's kind of the big thing about the spring that I'm looking, you know, that I'm happy about is that our team looks prepared. You know, Coach B talks about us being the most prepared team in the nation. And I believe it. You know, we have not just the plays and the first and third defenses and the bunt defenses, but more of just the mentality of, hey, you know, let's get to the season. You know, we're ready. You know, we have confidence in our team. We have confidence in our coaching staff, and we're just ready to get to Arlington.
All right. So about you specifically, in the fall is your first healthy fall. You slugged. You got the award for the best slugging fall of anyone. But I think, you know, where you're going to hit is not so much of a mystery as where you might end up playing in the field. So has it been third base every day? Has it been a little second, like you did a little bit in the fall, left field, where they got you playing mostly right now?
Yeah, so the inter squads, and that, you know, that's another beauty of the inter squads is that you get to throw guys around in different places because you're splitting up the lineup half and half because you have to have a team to compete against. You know, my answer to all these questions, you know, even family members that ask, I just say, you know, wherever boss man tells me to go, I go. You know, it's been left field, right field, third, second, first. You know, I like to consider myself a possible shortstop, but that's out of the equation.
Little big for that. Yeah. I mean, like you got them muscles, them crazy muscles, bro. Come on now.
That's right. But yeah, you know, it's really a mixture. And also getting other guys in different positions. Because you never know what happens in the season. You know, God forbid someone goes down with an injury or, you know, someone gets hot at a certain point. You know, you're going to have to find a place on the field to place them. So I take pride in being able to play all the positions. And, you know, helping this team out defensively wherever coach puts me. And, you know, that's kind of the biggest pride factor that I take is, listen, you can stick me a second, you can stick me a third, first, right, left. You know, I'm a gold glover at any position.
See, listen at him talking about a gold glover at any position. I love that about Judd, man. Like, ever since I got to know you, dude owns his business. It's just about, you know, you being healthy. So you still feeling good? You still where you want to be as the season gets closer as far as your health?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this winter was a blessing for me, and I think it is for a lot of collegiate baseball athletes, because you have a long fall. You know, you have practices and lifts, like I said, and you kind of get around a month to kind of scale it back down. Not so much that we're not, you know, doing any baseball activity or not working out, which we still are, but the intensity of it, you get rest, you don't have to worry about schoolwork. It all just kind of compiles into one little break that's much needed, as I should say.
Well, for you, there, like, the leadership angle of it is interesting as well, because this is a new look team. You'll have a lot of confidence about it. Hunter's back. We've talked about all these factors here to bounce back from back-to-back losing seasons. But from a leadership standpoint, when you look out there, you see the new faces, Owen Pano, Frederico. There's a lot of guys out there that could help this year. How's it come along as far as team chemistry and being that leader out there that can be that stabilizing, you know, force whenever things do? It's not going to be perfect. There are going to be peaks and valleys. That's baseball. So how's the leadership come along? You spearheading that, because obviously you're a vet in the room. It feels like this team, at least in my short experience with it since we started doing this kind of stuff in the fall, is a pretty close-knit team. Not to say that the last couple of years weren't, but this team seems like it's more pulling in the same direction than we've seen certainly since last year.
No, for sure. And funny enough that you said that, me and Luke Hill were at practice yesterday and we were talking about this exact thing. We were talking about how well our team is set up for this year. One, because we have so many good athletes, and we were more talking about the hitting side. Obviously the pitching speaks for itself. You know, we've seen it over the fall. It's been dominant. And that's a whole nother side that we can get into later. But with the hitting side, there's so many guys who can play so many positions and who are selfless. And that's one of our core covenants in Rebs, is selfless. And that's a huge one this year, because nobody knows what day one lineup's going to look like. Nobody knows who's going to be, you know, starting on the mound or starting at shortstop or starting in center field. You know, you can make your guesses. You can talk to people, but ultimately no one really knows. And the beauty of having this team and having this selfless mindset among the locker room is, hey, it doesn't matter, right? As long as we win on February 14th, that's all that matters. And I've said this on this podcast before, winning fixes everything. You know, it doesn't matter if you're 0-4 or if you went, you know, a historic game with the cycle or four home runs. You know, if you win, you did your job as a collegiate athlete at Ole Miss. Because our job is not to hit home runs. It's not to steal bags. It's not to strike people out. It's to win the baseball game. And ultimately, that's what the Ole Miss fans want.
Well, as far as that pitching staff, Hunter, his velocity's been up compared to where he was a couple years ago before he got injured. Not that it's like 95 now, but he's more hovering around 89, 90 when he was pitching at 87 in Omaha. And he's back not only to lead the staff and potentially get the turn for opening day, but Riley Maddox and all his veteran guys. You spoke of the pitching. Has anybody surprised you as far as what they could bring to the staff, either through the bullpen or in the rotation? And, you know, maybe their stuff's ticking up. They got to get on the field by how well they've been playing. Maybe they weren't expected to be that guy or those guys, but they're really forcing their way onto the field here.
Yeah, I want to shout out a guy who I feel like doesn't get enough love, Will McClausland. And he's a transfer. He is, and one of the reasons I think that he may have not got brought up in this podcast yet is because, honestly, I hadn't faced him yet. In the inner squads or in live at-bats or anything, you know, I wasn't able to see his arsenal. I just saw it from the field. But I faced him this past weekend, and, you know, he has lights-out stuff. He pounds the zone. He throws consistent strikes. His stuff is, you know, mid-90s, great breaking ball, great feel for the changeup. He just has all the tools that you look for in a everyday type of pitcher. a guy that you can count on, that you can believe in, that you know, hey, base is loaded, we're giving you the rock, you know, he's going to get that final out. So that guy, you know, I'm really looking forward to looking at him. Again, obviously, like I've said 100 times on here, Mason Morris.
Guy.
You know, if you could buy stock in baseball players, I would buy all of it because that price is going to the roof. He is, you know, he's such an elite pitcher, and he started to figure out how his body works and how to become a true, I think about it like a Greg Maddux pitcher, right? His stuff is way better than Greg Maddux, but he's learning how to pitch now. And, you know, that's one thing that I think that he missed the last 2 years was, you know, his stuff has always been good. He's always been mid-90s. He's always had a wipeout slider. Mm-hmm. But now he knows how to sequence. He knows how to hide the ball. He knows how to hold runners on. He's just become an all-around pitcher that I'm looking forward to look at this year.
As far as those pitching options, and we've talked about this with Joel coming in and the depth of options that y'all haven't had before, has that held at least in the early goings of spring practices going into the season, the depth of those pitching options? Can you tell a distinct difference? Because that's really what held Ole Miss back in a lot of ways. You know, the lack of options on the mound, especially last year. Do you kind of see that holding steady from the fall? Because I know they had a really strong fall. I think you told me that was like the toughest fall. We didn't. I mean, it was hard to hit those guys. Has that continued?
Yeah, no, it's in Furness, I think, talked about it on the first podcast, just about how elite the pitching staff is, not just on the front end or necessarily on the back end, but all around. And, you know, you can only see so much through inter-squad games, but we mm-hmm. played two outside live competition, and it went as exactly as we expected. You know, it was from the get-go, it was dominance. And that doesn't necessarily mean we're not going to give up any runs. It just means there's not, at least comparatively, it's not going to be the, you know, walk three guys, hit a batter, give up a single, give up a home run. The good thing that this pitching staff does that I've noticed is that they don't lose two times in a row, right? You may get the best of them one at bat, but they're going to try their absolute hardest and they're going to execute to get the next guy out, because baseball is really a game of runs, right? It's putting up a crooked mm-hmm. number from the offense and trying to get, you know, some momentum going into later into the game. And our pitching staff does a great job of eliminating those crooked numbers. Like, we had an inter-squad this weekend, and I think the final score was probably 4-2. Mm-hmm. And all I saw on the scoreboard was 1-1-1-1-1-1-1. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as a fan of baseball and as a fan of Ole Miss, I love seeing that, just because I know that it's going to give our offense the best shot, you know, to put up 5-6 runs and still have a chance to win.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
I'm going to ask you this first question because I want to get into a second question, because you and I've talked about this before, how you mentioned at the top, man, you're a crazy athlete. And I want to get into a couple of things about that crazy athleticism, because Austin Simmons is no longer with baseball. He's sticking to QB1. What kind of teammate was Austin? And just, this is something that's not new to Ole Miss. I've seen football players have to make the decision. But, like, for Austin, where was he developmentally? What was he like as a teammate? And just what are your thoughts about, you know, not necessarily, he could come back anytime. Clem said that on this pod 2 weeks ago. He's welcome to come back anytime. But, I mean, you know how it goes in this business, man. Just what was he like as a teammate? And you know, as a player and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, I loved Austin. You know, he came in. I remember the first time that he was visiting the facility. I got to know him, got to know his father. You know, he great kid. And as everybody can see, he's uber athletic. Mm-hmm. He's an extreme player, and he was really, really good on the mound for us. Now, I really enjoy watching him on Saturdays, but I like watching him more on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, you know, dominating. But again, you know, with a guy that's with that athleticism, who has the ability to play both, you know, we just love the guy. And, you know, we let him know that whatever decision is best, that he goes for it. I kind of think back to my freshman year when we had Tywon Malone right on the team. And, you know, Tywon, if you're watching this, congrats on winning the national championship.
Two-time.
Crazy. But, you know, he was so good at being able to manage both sports. And for the average fan that's watching, it is so, so hard to manage one sport. I can't even imagine managing two sports, much less being the quarterback and a pitcher, which those two probably spend the most time at their respective facilities. So, again, you know, I understand it. I don't know what I would do if I was in his situation. But, you know, he's athletic enough and he's smart enough to make his own decision for what's best for his body, for his career, and whatever he decides to do. You know, right now it looks like football. You know, we're the biggest fan of Austin Simmons over here at baseball.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. If you were told, all right, Judd, for a year you could go and try out for any other sport that you want, is it football or basketball? Might be track and field.
Yeah, I don't know what I would do at track and field, what event I would do.
Yeah.
Because I've seen those track athletes. And
freaky.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stay away from there. I'm going to stay away from basketball because my knees, they're not ready for that sort of contact. Yep. My mom would hate me, but I think I'd have to say football.
I knew it.
And I think I'd be a second or third string tight end.
Exactly what I was thinking. I was like, tight end, maybe edge, put a little poundage on you if we need.
That's what I'm saying. If I got up to about 270, 280, I could probably play on the D-line somewhere. You know, linebacker's out of the question. Skill position is out of the question.
I don't know. You could maybe do big receiver.
Little Calvin Johnson?
Yeah, little Calvin Johnson. Even Trey Harris a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, you and Trey are – well, you're bigger than all of them. You're a tight end. It reminds me of my buddy Murphy Holloway, all-time Ole Miss basketball great. When he was done at Ole Miss playing basketball and tried the NBA draft process, ended up going overseas, having an amazing 10-year, 12-year run in the overseas, making all kinds of money. He's the best. But he went out for football as a tight end and got invited to the Baltimore Ravens. Not to say, you got a long, long baseball career ahead of you. However, I would be lying if I said that I wouldn't love to see like you out there at the NFL Combine running like, you know, a 40, doing your doing all the stuff that they do. You know, I feel like you could really pop at the NFL Combine.
I would love to be invited to the NFL Combine, even if I wasn't picked up by a team. I just want to see what my numbers are. I want to see what my 40 is, my vertical, my broad jump. You know, I'll stay away from the catching drills and the blocking drills that they do.
I don't know. I think you'd be sneaky good, though.
Man, I'd have to have about 6 months of preparation to even look like I belong there.
Yeah, but the numbers are going to look good on the page, though. That's what I'm saying. No, and when I was talking about, no, I don't want to see me, Ben Garrett, running a 40 because I'd run like a 6'7". I want to see Judd do his thing. I want to see him get bunnies in a basketball court. I want to see all this stuff because he's a freak athlete. All right, so looking ahead now and getting ready to go to Arlington, what are some things over the next couple of weeks that y'all are trying to get done, or is it just kind of stay healthy, get there? Like, it feels like y'all are about ready to just get this thing rolling, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And that's the mindset from the, especially a lot of the younger guys in the locker room, you know, who haven't had this preseason feel yet. For some of the older guys, you know, you're kind of soaking it in. Mm. I know for some of the seniors, this is your last, you know, preseason practice. So we're making the most of it. But the overall vibe around the locker room is just, let's get as prepared as possible. Let's get as healthy as possible. Any nagging injuries, let's get rid of them. Let's work on our craft. Let's get clean on defense. Let's be consistent with barrels on offense. And, you know, let's just get some momentum heading into Arlington, because ultimately we're going to play three great teams down there. You know, this little round robin tournament, you know, there it's filled with great teams. And we're playing in Globe Life, obviously, which, you know, holds probably, I don't know, 40,000. There's a side of being physically prepared, and then there's a side of being mentally prepared. And we've been challenging a lot of the guys all around the locker room to become mentally prepared, because there is nothing like stepping out there on that, on your first game, and looking up in the stands, whether it's at Swayze or whether it's in Starkville, it doesn't matter. It's going to shock you. And it's a matter of, you know, take it in, but don't linger on it, because you have a job to do that we worked all fall, all winter, and all spring on. So that's kind of our thought process going into it. And then obviously we have practices and inter squads coming up just to become more prepared. But yeah, we're really looking forward to Arlington, especially. You know, we think about it one day at a time, one foot in front of the other, because that's all that you can control. We can't control if, you know, Clemson decides to back out of the tournament, or, you know, whatever scenarios may happen. All we can do is control ourselves and control our destiny.
Did anybody that maybe, you don't have to name names necessarily, but about their bad falls, but not necessarily bad falls, but maybe the fall they didn't want to have that have been really good early on this spring, because that happens a lot, you know, like some guys will have great falls, and then when fall practices or spring practices open up, it kind of trails off. Have you seen some guys that have gone the other way that maybe the fall was tough for them, but they've kind of figured some things out and could really be something for y'all come Arlington?
Yeah, I'm trying to think, you know, because we've only had one segment of inter squads.
Sure.
I guess I'll highlight some guys who have done really good in this last week. Ryan Mormon has hit two home runs, and they, you know, they probably still haven't landed, which, you know, that's what we expect from him, because, you know, he's such a freak athlete. He's so strong, and, you know, he's a veteran hitter, so that's what you see. Federico led off the spring inter squads with a home run, batting from the right side. Obviously, you know, you have guys like Mitch Sanford and Isaac Humphrey, who you expect to do great things. Luke Hill. Trying to think from the pitching side. Obviously, Will McLaughlin looked really good. Sam Tocoyan and Cade Townsend looked really, really good this weekend as well. Pounding the zone. Their stuff looked great. And, you know, it's only uphill from here. I say that especially whenever, you know, sometimes we're playing in 30, 40 degree weather, and that's not usually normal of Ole Miss weather in baseball season. Usually it's in the 70s or up. Learning how to adapt to the weather and learning how to adapt to those conditions is, and still being able to pound the zone, you know, it's awesome to watch. I'll say that.
Well, last thing, then Cade Townsend, you brought him up. I mean, he was like the pick of the class, the headliner of the class coming in. And from all accounts, not just talking to you, but talking to Clem and a bunch of other people, seems like he's been everything y'all hoped he would be. Obviously, freshmen, especially pitchers, there's going to be an adjustment. Mike typically likes to let him start in the bullpen like he did with Ryan Rollison, and then become starting pitchers in the rotation. But what have you seen from him specifically? You've been here a long time. You've seen guys with that kind of clout show up here. Has he kind of met your expectations, if you will?
Yeah, for sure. And to be honest, and I feel bad, because when I was in high school, you know, I followed all the news about the top prospects and I followed everything that went on. But once I got to college, I didn't have the time for it. So I didn't really know much about the guys coming in. I just knew their personalities from their official visits. And, you know, Kay's a great guy. And I had Owen Pano on this podcast, and he reminds me a lot of him. And I wonder if that's why they've had so much success in their career up to this point, with their professional mindset. And, you know, they take care of their body. They care so much about the game and competing. And the number one thing that I've seen from both of those guys, especially Cade Townsend, is it doesn't matter if, in his eyes, it doesn't matter if, you know, he doesn't have a great outing, as long as we win, he's the happiest guy that we have. And, you know, obviously you want guys who are going to be just dominant and never give up a run, which will not happen. But you want the guys who, you know, limit runs, but the time that they do give up runs, they're your biggest cheerleader, right? And they're, you know, they're pushing for us to win the game. Not from a selfish reason, but like I said earlier, you know, our job as Ole Miss baseball athletes is to win games, if you like it or not. You know, that's our end goal. So with Cade Townsend, Owen Pano, Hayden Federico, all these freshmen, you know, they have this mindset about them that I think it's going to propel them years ahead of where they're at right now.
Has Owen dyed his hair yet?
He has not dyed his hair yet.
You got it. You got to like live stream that. That needs to be like the Judd U for whenever he does it. That'll be that for the week.
Yeah, I think I'm going to volunteer myself to be the one that dyes the hair.
You're the leader.
Whoever it is, that's going to be, I think, my job, because I don't want to do.
See what you did there, by the way. Whoever it is, see, I see you.
I don't want to have any like blonde tips. I want the whole thing bleached, Anthony Servideo. Yeah.
As it should be. Yeah, like he mentioned doing the Joe Burrow shave. No. Let those blonde locks loose. Let them free. This has been an all-new edition of Talk of Champions, a Judd U edition of Talk of Champions. That is Judd Udermark, Ole Miss slugger, probably third baseman, maybe left field. Depends where they need to put him. And Ole Miss baseball opens its season in just a couple of weeks in Arlington. Thank you, my friend, for doing this. Our thanks to Riverland Roofing, riverlandroofing.com, the little house up top, 662-644-4297. Few of any are doing more for Ole Miss in the name, image, and likeness space. The reason why Judd is here is because of Riverland Roofing. So support them. Rebels helping rebels. Judd, I appreciate it, man. We'll do it again, all right?
Thank you. Appreciate it.